On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap your Duke's Mayo Bowl championship winning program, the South Carolina Gamecocks, as well as go over the women's basketball recap news and notes and the men's basketball preview versus Auburn. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 31 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And just in case there are any new listeners out there, you say, hey, my New Year's resolution is to listen to a ton of new Gamecock podcasts and explore some new ones, whatever it may be. What I mean by that, folks, is I'm going to aim to keep every episode of this podcast from 1801 to 2001, 18 minutes to 20 minutes, basically, in 1801 to the Ode to Our University and 2001, A Space Odyssey. And don't bust my chops too bad if I do miss it a little bit here and there, but it's a fun little thing that we do here on the show. But Happy New Year to new listeners, current listeners, whoever it may be. Happy New Year to you all. New Year's for me, it's always kind of a funny time because it's kind of that forced fun. You know, like you got to try to do something. I didn't do jack. I just sat on the couch, had a nice meal, and it was honestly kind of nice. Had some beer, just kind of the way I like it. But I hope whatever you did, it was nice. And I hope 2022, I get so confused. It still feels like 2020, but 2022, I hope it brings us all health, wealth, happiness, and of course, many, many Gamecock wins. And as far as New Year's resolution goes, for the podcast, I'm going to say, you know, I want to keep the podcast going, obviously. I want to try to get it some more exposure. I want to build the following on social media and things like that. Great time to plug that. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks, like my last name, C-O-X Gamecocks. And then Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And maybe throw me a subscribe while you're at it, too. But then on a personal note, on a sports note, I guess still, I'm going to try to not ride the roller coaster as much when I watch Carolina sports games. I'm going to try to be a little more zen about watching the games, not try to get too stressed when the play doesn't go our way. Maybe. We'll see. That's probably one where it's like, it's going to be the first kick. It's going to be like the first drive of football this upcoming year. And I'm just going to, that's going to go out the window. Oh, well. So what we're going to do in this episode is we're going to start with basketball, go over news, recaps, updates from both basketball teams. Then we're going to shift over to the football front. So with that being said, women's basketball on Thursday evening. So we had our bowl game on Thursday morning. And then in the evening, unfortunately, we did take the L to Mizzou 69-70 in overtime. And that is just a tough road matchup for Dawn Staley and company. And again, I mean, it went to overtime, right? And it took a last second layup that beat us. So we were winning the game. And for all intents and purposes, like we were going to win the game. It took a last second miracle to beat us. And it just further cementing my dislike for the University of Missouri, just as a whole. Their football program annoys me. The fact that they're in the SEC annoys me. Their women's basketball team annoys me. I just don't like them. All right, I just don't like them. And their colors are stupid. Moving on. Aaliyah Boston highlighted it with 17 points and 12 boards. Zaya Cook with 10 points as well. And then Camilla Cardoza, I was saying the bigs needed to play well. She certainly showed up as well with 14 points and 8 rebounds. But big update on the women's front is that their next game, so it was supposed to be Sunday afternoon, and I was going to report on it for this episode with the result, was supposed to be against Ole Miss, but it was actually postponed due to COVID. And then I think there was some last-minute maneuvering. I don't know who exactly pulled it off, but now we are playing Mississippi State Sunday night. So as you're listening to this podcast, the game would have already happened. So I'm not going to give my crow to the games. I'm not also, no offense, not going to just stay up and then record and then do all that jazz. So I certainly do expect South Carolina to bounce back and get a W here, to get back on track and get that first big-time SEC win. Now, Mississippi State, they are 9-3. They were 9-3 at least going into the matchup, and this is their first SEC game. So I think and I fully expect Dawn Staley, she's going to have this team ready to bounce back, and I fully expect them to. So hopefully, as you're listening to this, that all came to fruition, and the Gamecocks got right, and we are back on our way looking for the big trophy. Now, shifting over to the men's side of things, the men, they will take on Auburn Tuesday night in Colonial Life to open up their SEC play. Auburn, they're actually one of the best teams in the country, let alone one of the best teams in the conference. They're actually ranked 11th right now. And each year, though, it does feel like Frank Martin has the Gamecocks ready for conference play. It feels like they, generally speaking here, play well, and they play hard during this time of the year. It's always that earlier part of the year where you see some games that are head-scratchers, but Auburn is 12-1 on the year. They are averaging 80 points per game compared to USC's 75, and Auburn also averages giving up 64 points compared to Carolina's 66. So, I mean, any way you slice it, this is a tough matchup to start Carolina's conference play. Certainly going to be a big challenge for the team, and you know, we have to use this as maybe a measuring stick to see kind of where we're at here. But my crow to the game here is control the offensive glass. South Carolina has more rebounds on the year than Auburn, and while our guard play has flashed at times, I don't think you're going to be able to have much stronger guard play than Auburn. So if we do have an edge against them, it could be our play in the post. So if we can heavily control that and control the offensive glass, hopefully we can make our second chance buckets and keep us in the game. And like I said, this is certainly not the easiest of matchups we could ask for. It could be that measuring stick, and hopefully we have an idea about where we are compared to really some of the best teams in the country, some of the best teams in the conference as you gear up for this stretch leading up to March. And we have seen Carolina play hard in these SEC games, so maybe Frank gets the squad up and maybe we get some magic. I mean, we've seen it happen in Colonial Life before, so let's stay tuned for that. But root them in. Let's go Cox there. So that wraps up things on the basketball side of things. So now going to pivot to the big news that came from this past week, and that is the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and we are the champions, my friends. Dun, 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 dun. I feel like it's been a while since I sang on the pod. You remember that stretch? I did that for like 2 or 3 episodes in a row. Yeah, that was a weird time. That was like, you're like deep, neck deep in football season. Ugh, good stuff, though. But I mean, even if you don't like mayo, I hope you at least tried some this weekend, just in honor of our W. And if you didn't, you for sure liked that game. I mean, truly a fun, memorable way to end the 2021 season. And I don't even know where to begin with this, but in general, ending the football season with a winning record is just such a good feeling after these past few years where that hasn't been the case and all of the question marks we had entering this year, to take a step back and say, we have a winning record. 7-6 on the year. It's an incredible accomplishment. And something that is incredibly remarkable, even more remarkable, is just the second half surge this program had in general. But doing that, winning games as underdogs in these matchups, Florida, Auburn, UNC, like, we didn't have a cupcake schedule in the back half of the year. We had to go in and fight and claw tooth and nail to get to the bowl game and then to win the bowl game. I mean, the Gamecocks, we were, depends on where you looked, but between 8 and 10 point underdogs going into the Mayo Bowl. And I mean, side note, like with the 7-6 record, Carolina has the same record as some very reputable programs and programs that we would not have thought we would have been tied with to start the year. So there was really so much momentum for the Gamecocks going into next year, and we have all of the reason in the world to be optimistic about our program right now. But back to the game itself, it was kind of an ass-kicking we gave UNC. going into the game, and as I previewed it, I thought it was going to be close. I thought South Carolina was going to need to get a couple of breaks, but our team came out from the jump and executed incredibly well on both sides of the ball. I mean, came out roaring, 18-0 lead after the first quarter, and just absolutely did not look back from there. So before I jump into what I liked and didn't like from each side of the ball, I wanted to do things a little different and shout out a few guys with their stat line specifically. I hadn't done that in the season, but since this is the last taste of football that we'll have for several months, and because it was such a great way to end the year and to get that bowl game victory, wanted to give a couple of guys their moments here. So starting off with Kevin Harris, the bus, the muscle hamster, gonna miss this guy, man. 182 yards, one touchdown, and a huge 38-yard run. Kevin declared for the NFL draft, so a great exclamation mark for him. He was huge for us last year. Gave the only reason to watch the Carolina football team last year was Kevin Harris. This year, he was a great complimentary piece, came on strong well in the second half, and I wish him nothing but the best. I think he's going to go that fourth, maybe fifth round, and he's going to be a huge, huge asset for wherever he goes in the NFL. Jaheim Bell, five receptions, 159 yards, two tutties. Ring the MF bell. Ring it twice. Ring it loud. Get Quasimodo up there swinging that thing. We knew we had a great playmaker in him, right? But this only makes me more excited to see what he can do next year. By the way, once again, we have Spencer frickin' Rattler throwing to him next year. It's incredible. He's an X factor. He can be a wide receiver. He can be a tight end. I am so excited to see that next step and evolution and of his game next year. Also, Jabari Ellis, five tackles and a sack. Great cap to his Carolina career. He's been a presence. He's been steady Eddie for us. So big shout out to Jabari. And then the MVP of the bowl game, Dekarion Joyner, 9 for 9 on passes, 160 yards, one touchdown, and 64 yards rushing. I'm going to dive into this a little bit more and the whole offense in a second, but I don't think anyone, any podcast, has enough time to sing the praises of Dekarion Joyner. We all know this guy's deal, right? We all know he came in, super talented player, was a quarterback, and he then bounced around between positions, couldn't really find a home. There was some flux in the offensive coordinators and things like that. And we just knew that whenever he touched the ball, he was a playmaker. And it just felt like he couldn't get a fair shake of things one way or the other. And he had every chance to transfer. And I don't think anyone would have blamed him for transferring, but he put his head down. He worked hard. He wanted to stay, and he wanted to be a Gamecock. He wanted to get his degree from the University of South Carolina. And guess what? His opportunity came in a bowl game. And not only did he lead his team to victory, but he got himself the MVP, gets the trophy. I don't know if you've seen the video. I'm sure you have, but so emotional after that game in an interview. It went viral. Every college football outlet was showing him, but they don't know his backstory and just how hard he has worked. And huge, huge shout out to DK. So, so great to see. And all right, so now we'll do the typical, what did I like, what I didn't like of each side of the ball. I always start off with the defense. So what did I like from the defense? I think they did an amazing job of bottling up Sam Howell and really limiting his running ability. Talked about that before the game. All day, our guys were swarming him, getting off the ball super well, getting hard after him, and Howell, he only ended up with 3 yards on the ground for the entire game, so really made him more one-dimensional. He also had a couple of big-time sacks and a big stop coming in the opening drive even that really set the tone for our defense, so that was really great to see. Also, I liked that they were able to limit the damage. UNC had a few big drives and a couple of big plays too. Huge throw by Howell in the first half. South Carolina was able to buckle down and only give up 3 in those moments, which allowed us to maintain our lead and momentum going into the half, which I thought was huge. And overall for the defense, I liked what we had, that we had seen what we had saw, that's confusing, all season, right? Where we had guys playing hard, winning their one-on-one matchups, and swarming to the other team. A guy I didn't shout out, but Darius Rush had an incredible play. Another guy who stepped up, won his one-on-one battle. Now, what I didn't like from the defense is we did give up a couple of big chunk plays, right? USC had a couple of guys wide open, go to the end zone. And if this team defense, rather, wants to take the next step from good to great, stuff like that can't happen. But, you know, small blip on the radar. They played very, very well. Now, the offense, what did I like? I loved the entire game plan to incorporate DeCarrion Joyner as the quarterback. And it's so cool in my mind. The coolest part is that we didn't hear a peep about this. We didn't hear jack shit about this. Someone even asked Beamer, I believe, like, what would happen if one of your two quarterbacks, Zeb and Colton, what happens if one of them got COVID? We didn't even hear Joyner be brought up as an option. And it's also not like we had seen Joyner do a lot of work in the Wildcat, Wildcock, whatever you want to call it. We hadn't seen a ton of that this year. And we were dealing with a lot of QBs in flux. Like, if you were going to give it a shot, try it. It was just incredibly smart and a savvy coaching decision from Shane Beamer and the entire offensive staff to recognize that between opt-outs and our depth being tested from COVID protocols, that we needed to throw a huge curveball to UNC and give them something that there was literally zero tape on. And that's what they did. And personally, I'm going to toot my own horn here. Like, I think we all were, but we were hoping to see DK throw out of the Wildcock for years now. That's something we had wanted to see. But to have him essentially run the entire offense for the game, I mean, he was the quarterback, right? Zeb was in for a little bit, but DK was our quarterback, was so ballsy and so smart, and just proves that Shane Beamer, he's not someone who's too proud to drastically mix things up and pivot away and identify a weakness in his team. He's not too proud to change his own thinking up. And on top of that all, Dak played incredibly well. I mean, we just went over the stats, but he's perfect on his pass attempts, running smart, taking care of the ball, opened up the game with a dime to Bell. And from there, I think our entire team believed that we could win the game. And then again, they just never looked back from there. And I also liked the balance of the attack. Obviously, things were led by Kevin Harris and Jaheim Bell, but you had Juju McDowell with the great game, nice long run touchdown there, and even a guy like Amarion Brown, who we had hoped to see more earlier in the year, he had a couple of big catches as well. So hopefully he can continue to emerge, but just shows that mixing up the game plan, getting different guys involved, just really, really smart. And then also something else that I absolutely loved, Parker White breaking the points record. I've said it before, but seeing the evolution and growth of Parker White during his time at South Carolina has been such a treat. And he turned into such an incredible asset for the Gamecocks and really, really deserves that record. Huge, huge congrats to you, Parker. Now, what did I not like from the offense? At times, I thought the play calling might have been a tad too cute. It feels like nitpicking because they really did have an incredible day, but like that trick play, that was kind of like, you know, meh, like why couldn't we just stick to what's working? But again, they did an incredible, incredible job. Now, overall for the game, y'all, we as Gamecock fans should be incredibly proud of this win. We had many more players out for this game compared to UNC, and we had some of our best players out on both sides of the ball, right? We came in over a touchdown underdog. And we were going against likely a first-round quarterback pick. And yet, as they have all year, our team fought and stood up against the adversity and got the job done. And now, 7 wins under regular circumstances, like, that's pretty damn solid, right? But when you consider that some people had our team winning 3 games total this entire year, it just really shows you how good of a job Shane Beamer and staff have done this year. So once again, there is really every reason in the world to be optimistic about the Gamecocks football program headed forward. And I think this win even further proves that something special is building in Columbia, but also shows that these coaches can prepare very well and are capable of leaving the comforts of Williams-Brice and winning a game against a solid opponent. Now, personally, I don't think I've been this proud and excited to win a bowl game in quite a while. It feels like a long time. And I think that's a testament to the belief and the excitement that Shane Beamer has reestablished into the fans and players of our football team. So just a big time ovation, a big time shout out for the 2021 Gamecocks. I think this team will be remembered as a team that came together when everyone in the country doubted them and their abilities. They're a team that came together and a team that wanted to prove people wrong, and they wanted to win big games, and they were willing to take a step back and learn and go under the guide of a new leadership while others, you know, when they needed it, really, right? And I truly think that this is the start of something special for the Gamecocks. So let's enjoy this win. And I think we can all look back at this season with a smile. Now, we still have to wait on a few guys' decisions on what they're doing, whether they're coming back or whether they're staying. But I am very excited for the future of the Gamecocks. And I think we all can really, really, truly look back at that season with a smile. And just huge, huge congrats to that team, to Shane Beamer and company. And with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. It was a blast covering this football team with y'all. I cannot wait to do it again next season, but we have a lot of good stuff coming up this year in the near term and the medium term and the long term for Carolina Athletics. So please follow me on social media, leave me a like, a review for the pod, and I will catch y'all on the flip side. Go Cocks!